Psycho Man.
Hello, everybody. This is Ted. This is the Motorcycle Man, episode number 53. And we are here at the V-Twin Cafe in the corner booth, where it's in Cranford, where it's always 72 and sunny. And I'm here with Tim, Buck 2.
Yes.
And also Brother Chris, the Joker. I love that. That's awesome. How are my brothers doing today?
We're doing just fine.
IRBOK.
Yes.
That you were going to make that your license plate at one point, weren't
yes,
you?
Yes, I was.
Yes, you were. You changed that. All right, so. Anyway, things are groovy, and everything's cool and beans and all that shit all, you know? And shut the door, Chris.
That was the bathroom in the
We're in rare form tonight,
right,
man.
Yes, we are.
Holy shit. Anyway, so this episode is sponsored by audibletrial.com. Audible. You get yourself 180,000 tiles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, and or MP3 device. And so go to audibletrial.com/motorcycleman. Get your free freaking book. Hey, guys. So how's everybody doing?
I'm still injured, but fine.
You're still injured?
Still injured.
You're injured.
He's walkable.
I'm walkable.
You went back to work today.
Yeah.
So how'd that work out?
How did that walk out?
How'd that work, yeah.
I walked. They gave me help today. I couldn't walk the whole route.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did they carry you?
No. I just walked less.
No, they just put a noose around him and tracked.
Yeah, right?
They would.
Throw the mail on the porch.
They would. So, things are good. Right, Chris?
Sure. How are you? You guys been riding?
Well, we're going to talk about that in a moment.
We did some things.
We did some things.
Things.
Did some lot of riding, actually. Let's say hello to our friends at Loud Pipes. John, Rich, and Rico, and of course Throttled, Kevin and Larry.
Chido.
Our friends Motorcycles and Misfits.
Chido.
Eliza and the whole crew. Actually, it's really cool because I was on as a guest on Motorcycles and Misfits on their Sunday episode. We
nice.
Talked about Harley Davidson and some motorcycle crap. Bunch of our guys. And Pace. You know, it's those guys. And Cleveland Moto. And our
Hello.
Friends, Chopper Profits.
Hello.
Motorific.
Motorific. Joanne and Christy.
Yeah.
Hello.
Joanne was on last week. What a great episode. We got some great compliments about that.
Yes, that was good.
Some people liked that episode. That was great. Sims Designs. Your bike isn't cool till Sims Designs cool.
Cute.
They do some cool stuff. I want to get some stuff done again with those. Joe G, Surefire Designs. Get your leather on. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And those fine folks at Road ID.
Yeah.
I got my Road ID. You got your Road ID, Chris?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You're good, man.
You still didn't get your Road ID, did you?
I still didn't get my Road ID.
Well, I got
it. It's so good, I can't even buy one.
You know what? I'll tell you. Here's what's cool. Here's what's cool about Road ID. Road ID gave me, Woody. You know my Woody? They gave my Woody a Road ID.
Sounds like a person walking.
It is. And guess where Woody is right
if
now?
You don't know where your Woody is.
Now I'm just picturing a cock ring. I'm sorry. I went there.
You went there. Great. Road ID doesn't want to be associated with that.
No.
No. Okay. No. Well, here's the deal. So right now, and also we want to say hello to our good friends at Del Boy's Garage, Del and Penny. Penny runs a jewelry shop called Moonfleet.
Oh, nice.
Cool. Over there in... And,
does she make jewelry, or what? She makes jewelry, or so?
Yeah.
Okay, you got a lot of
plethora of interest.
Well, she's got a shop plethora. Over there in Dorset, that's where Woody is right now.
Oh, cool!
Woody
cool.
arrived today in Dorset, England. That's nice. Where he is now. He's beginning his journey around the world. You can follow Woody's journeys on our website on the page that's called "Where's Woody." And would you guys like to see that? I'll show you.
Sure.
Because God forbid you go to the website and check it out for your own goddamn self.
What website? Wow. What website is that?
You know, motorcyclemen.us.
Never heard of it.
Why does the page look like that?
Wow, good job on the design.
It didn't load right. Holy crap. Why did it load like that?
Well, because it's your computer
no,
and all your equipment.
No, it's Tim's internet. Anyway, so here's the Where's Woody's page. It's like this, and you can find Woody. It's a totally interactive map on air provided by Google. And you can actually zoom in on all the points where he's at and then find out exactly his whole deal.
Well, let's get him to go around.
We see in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, I'm going to assume a shark has it in
his Yes, we're going to assume that whoever had him dropped him or is dead. Yes. So we'll have to go with that way. So anyway, that's where Woody is right now, and he's beginning his travels. So that's the deal with Woody, and so Dell's
it would have
been
funny if you put it, found out what plane he was on.
Yeah, I don't know about that. You know, it's just he made it over there. I had to fill out a customs form and all that stuff. So now Dell and Penny have him, and he's gonna make an appearance on Del Boy's Garage on Friday.
Oh, cool!
So he'll be on. If you want to watch Del Boy's Garage, that's a YouTube channel, and Dell does all kinds of.
Does he take phone calls there?
No.
Again, good information.
I don't know. Yeah. So, but anyway, he's gonna have him on the show, and you can go ahead. You can watch him on this. Dell does a lot. Thank you. Dell does a lot of great stuff. He shows you how to do all kinds of cool stuff, and he's got a couple great projects going on right now. So,
cool.
Whatever.
We like Dell.
So, ride recap for the week. You want to talk about that now? Oh, by the way, before we do that. You know that spot trace thing that I got?
Yeah.
That I've been testing out for the guys over there?
You've left it on now. How long?
It's been 4 months, and I just got a battery notification.
Nice. Wow. So four months.
Holy but shit. It's still working. It's just saying low battery.
Wow.
So it's been 4 months. It just got the low battery. I'm just going to let it go and see how before it don't completely dies.
Yeah, do a full assessment on how long before the battery actually goes dead.
And then and the thing is, it's been getting moderate use. In other words, like it's in my jacket, so it goes where I go. It goes where the truck goes. It goes where the bike goes. So what I'm going to do next time is I'm going to change some settings on it so that it gives me like, it registers like every inch. I want to see if I can really kill it, you know, just to see how fast. Because right now this is a moderate use, so it took a little over four months for the battery to say it's low. Got to change the battery.
Sense.
So we'll see what happens with that. As far as audiobook stuff, I haven't been listening to anything, but Jeremy Croker, the guy who wrote Motorcycle Therapy, and he's got two new books out. He's going to be on the show in a couple weeks. But you can go to Audible.com. You can download that book and listen to it. It's great stuff. All right. So let's talk about our test rides of the new Milwaukee 8 engine with Harley Davidson's demo days that Chris and I attended last Thursday.
Okay. First. Ted.
What?
What's the first bike you rode?
The first bike I rode, Chris hadn't arrived yet, and everybody was there.
I wasn't asking about it. What's your first bike?
First bike I rode was the V-Rod.
Of course.
The V-Rod Night Rod, because all the other bikes were already taken, because I got there like quarter after 10, and by then all the other bikes had already been taken. So I took the V-Rod out, and naturally the V-Rod performs fantastic. They take us on a little, it was about a 9.5 mile loop. It's about 9 miles, right, Chris?
Yeah.
That's about 9 miles. The roads were okay. Not too heavily traveled, but and they brought us back out onto Route 70, which is kind of a highway of sorts. It's two lanes, both directions, but you know it's got heavily. We had one traffic light we had to deal with on that, and that was it. I wish they had taken us out on the Garden State Parkway so we could really open up the bikes and see what they could do. You know, just do that. Mm-hmm. But there would have been, I think, a toll involved.
Route 70 was good, though.
Route 70 was okay. It was something. So the first bike I took out when I got there was, of course, was the V-Rod. And naturally, I love the way the V-Rod performed. So that was, you know, and this is, we're entering what everybody believes to be its last year. So it was great. Naturally, it performed well. It was yellow. So that made a whole difference, too.
Okay, now, Chris, your first bike.
Okay, my first test ride was... The Street Glide Ultra, 107 Milwaukee, 227.
Nice.
Let's bring that up. Street Glide Ultra, right?
Yep, Milwaukee 8.
The Street Glide Special?
Ultra.
Okay, we don't have that on the screen, but...
Special is the same thing.
Okay.
Ultra Limited, what's that?
That's the Electric Glide. Okay. Yeah. So tell us about the Street Glide. I did not get to ride the Street Glide Special. This has the new Milwaukee 8 in it.
Yes.
And your assessment is?
This bike comes in at 23.6.
And you know what they did with the new Milwaukee is because of the new design, It doesn't shake as much as the past models.
Oh, no.
Not even close.
No.
Not it shakes a little bit, but totally comfortable, man.
Yeah.
I mean, the way it handled, there's very, very low on the shakes now. And the Milwaukee 8 is just the real powerful engine, too.
You had power?
Oh, my God, yes.
Easy to handle, though.
It was.
And yeah. I enjoyed the Street Glide a lot.
A lot?
Okay, Ted, number two.
My second bike I took out, let me go back, if I can remember. Because it was so long ago.
You knew you were talking about this. You could have written
it
down.
Yeah, no, I am very prepared, actually. I am very prepared. The second bike I took out was the... Oh, wait a minute. You know what I'm going to do? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'll get there. What? The second bike that I took out was the... Just call me prepared. I don't know.
Yeah.
I wasn't prepared for that. I kind of sort of
was.
You
send us a 4-page text. This is what we're doing tonight.
Yeah.
But when I get there, I will not pay attention to anything that I sent you.
I know nothing.
Yeah. All right, the second bike I took out was the...
he's checking his text, his emails.
Yeah, I took out the 2017 Ultra Limited Low. That also had the 107. Yacht. This is basically what Tim has, except it's not the low. You don't have the low version. But you're right. The engine was, like I said, the engine was fantastic. It had lots of giddy up in every gear. There was no delay. There was lots of torque. The bike was great. I didn't like the dare I use this word, cockpit. I felt it was cramped, and it just didn't feel good. Oh my God!
Beating yourself in the face with the microphone. Just breaking shit.
Shut up. But yeah, it was okay. It was all right. Would I own one? No, I absolutely would not. The windshield could have been a little higher because I got a lot of buffeting. So, but it was nice.
Well, the windshield
had a good stereo. I'll tell you that. Good stereo. I had a cruise control.
Did you hit the sixth gear at all?
I did not get to hit sixth gear in this thing.
We never went fast enough.
Six
gears an engine, man.
Yeah,
the gearing on it.
That's why I said I wish this thing. I wish we had more. I wish we had riding a little highway.
Yeah, you hit the 70. You're on, you know, you're doing like 70 miles an hour in fourth gear.
Yeah. Chris, what'd you take out next?
I took out the 2017 Fatboy S. Your
bike.
Yeah.
The new version.
The newer version, and it goes to show you, man, when they got a success. Like the Fat Boy's been, that's one of their biggest sellers and successful bikes.
Yeah.
They just didn't change anything much.
Yeah, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, right?
Exactly. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Outside of the fatter tire on the back, which I love, I wish I could have put that on.
Did
my
you
bike.
Notice the handling difference because of the bigger
it
tire?
It was my bike.
Okay.
There was times when I was riding, I thought it was I was on my bike, but the only difference is plus, like, times four the power.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah.
The Fatboy S has a 110 motor.
Oh, well, there you go. All right. I took out for my third ride. I went out. I took the 2017 Roadster, which I rode up at. Which I rode up at Americade, and again, I love this bike. It is a lot of fun. It's easy to throw around and have a good time on. I just loved it. I really, really had a great time on this bike. If you get the opportunity to go to your local Harley dealer and take this thing for a ride, by God, do it, because it is a lot of fun. It was a great bike. Lots of get up. It was a lot of fun. I think the only thing for me, probably because I am a tall guy, is that the seating position was, I don't say cramped, but you have to know going into it that you're going to be in the cafe racer kind of seating position.
Right.
So, but aside from that, it was absolutely wonderful. I had a lot of time, a lot of great fun on the bike. So, I loved it. Absolutely loved it. That does not have, of course, any new engine in it. That's got the, it had 1200 in it, and it was a 5-speed. It was great.
Of course.
It was fantastic.
Okay, Chris, you're on number three.
Number three.
My number three test ride was a Lowrider S that had a 103 on it. That was 2016, I think.
Okay.
Again, you know, they're all nice bike. That's what I'm saying. But the Lowrider S, it's a Dynabody. Not my thing. Very shaky.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
Very shaky and idle.
Hmm.
The positioning was okay. Power, of course, was ridiculous. Fast and everything.
Yeah.
That had a 5-speed or 6-speed?
6-speed.
Wow.
And that was the Dyna, right?
Yeah, that was the Dyna Lowrider.
That's pretty much the same bike that they were using on Sons of Anarchy, right? Pretty much.
No,
they weren't using a Lowrider?
They had Street Glide.
They weren't using Street Glides.
They had a Street Glide. They had Lowrider in there. They had a whole mix of them in there.
Yeah.
But there was the main character, Jax, I think he rode a Street Glide.
One episode I saw him wear a Street Glide, and the other episode...
They had multiple bikes.
Oh, yeah, they did.
So that was my take on it. Not my thing. I'm not a Dyna fan. Dyna
but that style. Now, did that have the 110 in it?
No, 103.
That had 103 in it.
It was nice. Nice bike. I mean...
How's the torque on it? Did that thing a good torque when you stepped on it?
Yeah, very, very good.
Really? Oh, okay. My third bike, fourth bike.
You know, they... And hold it. And just for the record, you know, they always say, like, Lowrider.
Yeah.
It's
not low.
It's not as low as Softails.
No, it's not.
Not even close.
No. No. That's I was very surprised with that.
You know, they call it the Lowrider, and it's, and you know, it's not low like the Fat Boy or the...
Yeah.
Or the Breakout. You
nope.
Know?
Not at all. My fourth ride was this little baby right here, the 2017 Road Glide Special. I could easily own this.
That was nice.
That was, I was, you agreed with me. You were a little weirded out when you're going up because of the way the fairing is. Because it's kind of like out there.
Fairing.
It's kind of out there. It's kind of
fixed fairing.
It's fixed to the frame.
Yes.
And
it doesn't turn when you turn.
Yeah.
But I got over it in a hurry, and then I was like, wow.
Man, I'll tell you what, I love the engine. Like I said, no shaking at all. I mean, it's a little bit, but man. Not like the old ones.
No.
Man, she was nice. It's smooth. The thing I only wished about it was that the windshield was just a little bit taller.
Well, you can replace those windshields.
You can replace those windshields. Who's shaking? Stop it. Because the whole table's like shaking around like we're having an earthquake. The stereo on this kicked ass. Did you play with the stereo at all when you rode it?
Yes.
It was awesome. Holy crap. I'm riding this bike. I'm going, okay, yeah, I got to get one of these.
And it was great. When I got on the bike, Rush came on the radio.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I heard that. It's funny. When I got on the bike and I turned the radio on, Sister Christian by Night Ranger was on.
Nice.
I said, okay. And you know what? I opened it up when we first took off. I slammed it into sixth gear, but then I had to quickly downshift. I had this thing railing, man, and I could hear the stereo just fine.
Yeah,
beautiful bike. Oh,
is it quiet or how are they?
You know, it had a nice
stock pipes.
They all had a nice rumble to it. It had a great pickup, man. In every gear, it torqued. You could feel it. It was great. Oh man, nice and powerful. The seat was super comfortable on us, and every time you just twisted that throttle, you can feel yourself settling into that seat just a little bit more. It was nice.
Cool.
Love the bike.
Chris, four.
Okay, number four, which is a surprise despite what I just said about Dynas, okay? My test ride four was a Dyna Fat Bob 103.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It was delightful.
Delightful.
Not shaky?
Not shaky. Very comfortable. The seat on there was very comfortable. The ride itself was comfortable. The leg placement was
that's
fantastic.
That's it right there?
Yep.
Your legs are up forward, like you're on a recliner. I loved it. Loved it. I actually liked that bike a lot. I was surprised because it's got the word Dyna in it.
Yeah, I was very surprised, too.
That's a fat front tire.
I think that's probably one of the reasons why it felt
different
about it.
And that's why
it
made it comfortable, was the big tire. And the guy even said that. He says, with the fat tires on it, makes bikes ride, I guess, apparently.
Yeah, you know, because Dyna Series has the reputation of being just a larger sportster.
Now, you guys talked about turning. You had to push these to turn a little bit more?
No, not this one. Oh, we'll get to that.
We're not that wide.
Not that one. But my fifth bike, my fifth ride, Let me get to that in a second. My fifth ride was not the in any one of these.
Wonderful.
Why is that cutting out all the time? I don't get it. I don't know why that's cutting out. That's really annoying me.
We're going to have to replace that cable.
Yeah, we're going to have to.
Replace all of your equipment.
All of the equipment. Everything. All of it.
Sell it all.
My fifth ride. And I have to say that if I thought about it. You okay over there? Good. If I had to, if you put a gun to my head and say, pick a bike right now, it would be this one right here. The Harley Davidson. Yep.
Breakout.
The CVO Pro Street Breakout.
Fucking badass.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
This thing has the 110 in it. Not the new engine. But let me tell you something. It's got the 240 rear wheel. And when you twist that throttle, you best hang on for dear life.
Oh, I got something to tell you.
Holy crap. It'll rip you off the seat if you're not hanging on.
That was your test ride 5.
That was my test ride
5. That was my test ride 5, so I will just add on to his.
Yes. So this bike wants to move. And I tell you what, one of the things I realized about bikes with the big rear tire, the reason why this bike, you had to muscle it to turn it because it wants to go straight, is because of the geometry. You're sitting so low. If this seat was 4 inches taller, all you would have to do is lean and this bike would go. Now I understand why sport bikes have the big tire in the back and can turn so easily and are maneuverable easy because they're higher. This, you're low to the ground. You're right there. Yeah. But I tell you what, this thing was comfortable. It was fast.
Yeah.
Man, I can tell you what, the only thing I would want to do on this bike is throw a small sport windshield on it, and I'm done.
Mm-hmm. Backrest.
And you could get bags for it, too.
You can get bags for it. I would do that. Maybe throw some little bags on there, a little backrest, and just make it like that, like a small...
All blacked out, no more chrome.
Just what you see right here is perfect, man. It's a beautiful bike. This one was black, and it had kind of like a wood grain striping around it. It was really cool. But, man, oh, man.
What did that run, that one?
It was, what, 23,000? 24?
No, that can't be that much.
No, it was expensive. This
really?
Bike. Oh, yeah, this bike was expensive, let me tell you. It was pricey. The cafe is falling apart right now behind our ears here. Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it rode so nice. Such a comfortable bike. I mean, the 23-inch seat
While he's looking, what are you
There it is right there. 26, wow. Almost $26,000.
Really? Wow.
But I tell you what, I would go into debt for that bike. Absolutely.
Yep, it was a very nice bike.
Go ahead, Chris.
You said was fantastic. I mean, the way it rode, comfortable because it's a soft tail. I'm a soft tail diva.
Yes, you are. We discovered that. You are a soft tail diva.
I like soft tails because to me they're comfortable. They're low. All soft tails are low to the ground, and this one is exceptionally low. And the handling was phenomenal.
Oh my God, it was great.
Turning a little stiff. Had to force it a little bit. Get used to it. When you get used to it, it was better. But that's because it's got a 260 on the back, I believe, or 280.
Nah, you know what? I thought it was I realized what I can't look it up. I can look it up right now. I know that the
check out the specs right there on the left hand side.
Specs. I know that the V-Rod had a 240 in the back, but I don't know about the tires. Rear 240.
Yeah, okay, 240. That's wide.
Man, oh man,
tires. That's like that.
To get 300 on it,
you know.
Oh God, man! I tell you what,
it was really nice though. That was my other.
This is the other color they had. This red and black.
Beautiful.
I like the black one better.
Then they have the white.
Beautiful
but I think
bike.
The black one is really nice. That was a beautiful bike. It was great. That's like I said. That's the bike that I would go into debt for. Definitely.
Cool. All right, number six.
Number six for me was. I took out the Softail Slim S. This one has the 110 in it also. A little tidbit for you. You'd find this very, very interesting. This motorcycle, oddly enough, has the lowest seat height of any motorcycle out there.
Really?
Yes. 23.8 is the seat height on this bike. Man, oh man! I tell you what, I was pleasantly surprised about this bike. Pleasantly surprised. I would have never thought anything of it, but this was really comfortable and it had a lot of giddy up.
Put a 2-up seat on that?
No, but we did meet a woman who had this bike.
No, you got to put a 2-up.
I'm sure
seat.
I guess you could.
Yes, you can.
You sure?
Yes.
You think so?
I was talking to that girl.
Yeah, well, she
put
had
a Mustang seat on.
Yeah, she. Oh, yes, you go. Okay. She had a rack and two bags and a windshield.
Talking about the bike.
Yeah, we are talking about the bike. Oh. Tim. Okay.
You just mentioned the rack.
Yeah, but she had the windshield on. She had stereo speakers and she had the rack and the bags. But bike was great. But she took this for a ride and she absolutely loved it. So. That's a nice bike.
We have to.
You rode that too, right? You rode that too.
Oh no, I didn't take that one out.
I thought you did.
No, it wasn't available.
Are you sure?
Yeah, it wasn't available. Okay. It's a soft tail, so I know.
Yes, it is.
I know it's great.
That's not the. No, it doesn't have the new engine in it.
No, it does not. This one has the same engine.
We have to clarify. We did not clarify. The Milwaukee 8s are only being used on the
touring models.
The touring models. That's it.
We did talk about it last week.
Fat Boys and.
Yeah. And, it'll probably trickle down to them.
Yeah, it'll trickle down eventually.
Eventually to them, yes.
Because you still have a lot of the models that have. They're coming out with putting 110s on them.
Right.
You know, the specials and stuff like that. The CVOs, 110. And
which size engine was in this one?
This is a 110. This is the same engine that's in the Breakout.
Yes.
Okay.
Man, oh, man.
Chris, what was your number six?
My number six was the Road Glide.
The same one that I rode
earlier. And I thought that was fantastic. I had to get used to that fixed fairing. I always thought that would be a problem. So I hopped on it, and I was like, oh, it's kind of weird for like a few seconds. And I was like,
done. One of the most interesting things I thought of.
It was fine. I loved it.
When you're riding that, fantastic. I would have thought that with that fairing being out there, that the bike would have felt like front heavy.
Not at all.
And you didn't even feel it.
Nope.
Didn't even feel it.
Did the bike feel as heavy as mine?
Oh, no.
No.
No. Not at all.
No.
Not at all. And with that fixed fairing on there, you didn't feel any wind vibration.
And I believe all the models, too, all the cruising models now, they've made them lower. Mildly lower than old standard. So. Wow.
Okay. Ted, seven.
Number seven for me was the Dyna.
I told you to ride it.
Yeah, you told me to ride it. So I took it. I was like, I was pleasantly surprised. It wasn't one of my favorites that day. I mean, if I went to any one of them, it would have been this one. It was okay. It was not what I expected. I expected to be riding a big sportster, but it was actually pleasantly. It was good. It had the 103 in it.
And can you get floorboards for these?
I imagine you probably could.
I can say because I know I've seen them. People have put floorboards on.
Cool.
They're big enough, and they're not. They don't have that sports. They have a fat feel to them.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, Chris, seven?
My seventh and last bike was the Roadster.
Because I told you to take it.
And I tried it. Boy, the leg positioning, not my thing. Felt weird.
Yes. Yeah. Sitting straight up like that?
Very high bike.
You have nowhere to go with this.
Yeah, that's it. It's fast as shit and not my thing. It's cafe racer-ish. But just not my thing.
Now, when you rode it, I mean...
Did I say it was not my thing?
Yeah, you did. Okay. Now, the bike is small, obviously. And here you got this huge-ass engine in it. Did you feel that? Did it perform really well?
Oh, yeah, no. A lot of power. A ton of fucking, retarded power.
Yeah. And, for me, my last ride was the Iron 883. I had never ridden one of these before. Again, it's a Sportster. I'm a huge Sportster lover. I love the Sportsters. I think they're a lot of fun. This bike here, this is something that I could see myself getting just because it was a crap load of fun to ride. It was a blast. It's an 883, but it's got some get up for an engine its size. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that was.
It was comfortable. It had it was mid controls, so you're just kind of like sitting in a chair. But it was fun to ride. It was a blast. I enjoyed it a lot. So there you go. That was your last test ride. That's what you did.
That was my last.
And that was mine too. So
get back to the Breakout.
Oh my god!
The guy that I went on, that was the leader of the little group. We went on when we got to the point where it was on Route 70. It was clear, so he went like this. Just let it.
He
open
wound
up.
It up. Man,
third gear. I burnt out with the fucking. Breakout.
Wow.
Third gear was like a fucking rocket. A rocket. That bike has got a lot
of power.
Holy
crap, man. And he was saying, I said, oh, yeah, that's the bike you want to ride. And he wasn't kidding, man.
That bike is fast.
So here's a Motorcycle Man recommendation.
That's probably even faster than a V-Rod, man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. If you have the opportunity, go to your Harley Davidson dealer and ask them if you could please take out a Pro Breakout. Street CVO Breakout for a ride and just feel it, you know. You're going to be pleasantly surprised, and you're going to sell everything you own just to get this bike.
Very cool.
Yeah, I think so. It was a great bike. I loved it. So there you have it, boys and girls. That is from that's our test ride thing.
Now, would you guys ever go on a test ride with BMW?
I would. Yeah, I would.
But what's the closest thing you've ridden to that sort of seating position?
My Sportster. It's about as upright as I've ever been.
That Roadster. Well, you know what? No, because the BMWs and those types of bikes, you have more of a sitting in a chair.
Yeah, more upright position.
You're sitting in a chair.
Yeah, you're right. Very, very upright, man.
Okay. Yeah. Some of them have the. I don't like the leg back thing.
Right, that's the sport bikes.
You know, well, not just.
No, even bikes, these. Get on the mic a little bit, Chris.
Even some of the other models that are like cafe racers, legs are a little back.
Yeah.
I don't like it. No.
They had a Moto Guzzi there, and I don't know the name because I really don't care, but somebody had traded it in, so it was on the lot, and so I sat on it, just checking it out.
Expensive one,
too. I wouldn't say it was a touring. I think it was more of a sport touring bike. Really tall. I mean, I could flat foot the bike. That's not a big deal, but it's just, you know, it had the huge tank in front of you, and then the whole thing. I was like, yeah, it didn't do anything for me. It was a Moto Guzzi. It had a, I don't know. I didn't care for it. Just sitting on it,
Those bikes for sure, those types of bikes, like that BMW.
Yeah.
They are really built for very long distance. You could do like cross country. Right. I mean, they're built for that.
Okay? Dude, I could do long distance on my bike.
I'm not saying that, Harleys can't. But Harleys to me, from riding just a couple of other bikes, Harleys are fun to ride. You know what I'm saying? It's a different kind of fun. There's a relaxation to it, but it's something about them. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I guess, but you know what? I guess it's all relative because somebody with those bikes or racers could absolutely say the same thing about them.
Yeah.
I know people that don't think that cruisers are fun to ride.
Oh, yeah. You know, and the funny thing is that the majority of the people who are doing Saddlestar 1000s and your Iron Butt...
They're all on those Guzzis, right?
They're all on BMWs and motorcycles like that. That's what they're on. But there is a contingent of riders who are riding Harleys of various types. I would have no problem doing it on my bike.
Right.
Because my bike is comfortable. And you want to be comfortable for it. If you're going to do 1,000 miles,
you're going to be comfortable.
It's comfortable.
Yeah, that's
to
just
me.
It.
I can't. I don't like. I said I never liked the leg positioning on somebody other bikes where your leg is back.
Yeah.
You know, from your knee down, your foot is back. I don't like that. I mean, part of it's from my shitty fucking knees. I can't sit like that. I need to be reclining and cooling
that's
out,
right.
Motherfucker. See what I'm saying? Cooling out.
Where's Arnold when you need him, right? But I think it was great. Get yourself out there and just if you didn't do the Harley demo days, you really missed out on a couple. You really missed out on some fun. It was a lot of fun.
They're going to do it again, right?
I don't know how often.
I heard the guy say something, and I can't remember when he said it was going to happen again.
I don't know how often they do it. I really don't. I didn't say, but
well, this is a big
time
because
the
2017 is coming up.
Now, would you ever go over to an Indian dealer and do a test ride with them?
I would love to.
I
want to just skip all the bullshit and go right to the Chieftain. Yeah. I want to take their biggest bike out and ride that and see how that feels.
Yeah, I'd give them a shot. I'd give them a shot. Just try them out. You know, it's
and
like.
Then,
I mean, just by sitting on them at the IMS show, I was like,
because of goddamn price. Those things are expensive as shit.
They're all expensive.
Yeah,
they all are. But I think, I mean, most of the Indians were goddamn expensive.
Yeah, Indians.
Except the black Indian. Oh! I came back. The black Indian was about the same price as a Fat Boy.
Really?
Matter of fact, a new Fat Boy.
That is the Indian Dark
Fat
Horse.
Boy. The new Fat Boy is up in price.
Do you want to check that?
$19,500.
Wow.
Was it? No, I didn't think it was that. I didn't think it was that much.
Yep.
Was the Fat Boy S.
And they did not have the 500 or 750 for test riding.
They did not. I was very surprised because I wanted to ride one of them. I don't know. The Fat Boy 16.8.
They don't like those bikes at all. I'm convinced. That's the Fat Boy S. Not to pick. I'm like, 20. That's the redheaded stepchild of Harley.
Yeah.
It's the 500 and 750.
But you know what? Let me tell you something.
They want to put those bikes out there.
Let me tell you something, though.
They don't want you to ride those bikes.
Let me tell you something, though. The XD 500 is the top selling motorcycle.
$20,199.
What's the difference between the S and the other one?
$4,000.
Thank you for
narrowing that down. No, engine size. Oh, does that have a Milwaukee 8 on it?
This is the 103. The Fat Boy S has got the Screaming Eagle. It's 110.
Oh, that's why. Screaming Eagle.
Yeah. That's it. So,
James,
but anyway.
My bike, though.
They got it. You rode your own bike.
That's one of their biggest, most popular bikes is the Fat Boy.
Yeah.
And they just did not, I love it, they didn't change anything much on it at all.
Yeah.
They just updated the engine, and that's it.
All right. So, but it was great. I thought it was great if you get the opportunity. By the way, down in Seaside Heights, starting tomorrow through Sunday, is the New Jersey Hog Rally.
Yeah.
So if you want to do some riding and check some bikes out, there's the place to go at the Hog Rally down here in Seaside. Unfortunately, it's going to rain every single day.
Fantastic. Wow. Well, they said it's supposed to rain today.
No, they changed it.
The weather changed.
That's why
again.
I rode.
Yeah. Now it's not supposed to rain until tomorrow night.
Oh, really? Oh, well, that's good.
Yep.
Okay, fine. That's cool. What else we got going on? Well, I'll tell you what. It's almost time for our guest to call us. We're just waiting. She's out. We were having Liza from the Motorcycles and Misfits podcast. She's going to come on. I'm forewarning you guys. She has threatened to beat us up tonight.
Okay, nice.
You know, she's going to. If I hit this microphone one more time, I am going to put a hole in the wall.
Not my wall.
Not your wall. Just
you
my.
Go home,
I'll go home and put my own wall.
Go home, put it in your wall.
But she has threatened to give us a hard time tonight.
About
everything. She's a ball buster. She is a ball buster, and she will, because she's going to bust our chops about riding and stuff like that. So, anyway, but she's going to be on. We're going to talk about some.
Yeah, we don't live in California.
Yeah.
Come out and drive with Jersey traffic.
Yeah, and drive on these Jersey roads.
Yeah.
Come on.
And she's going to. So, anyway, but we're going to talk about some motorcycle maintenance and repair stuff, and we're going to also talk about some East and West Coast riding culture crap. But aside from that, we got the same old crap going on. Next week, we're going to have. Steve from TT Cycles, and also our friend Rick Bennett from the Rustic Ridge Winery in upstate New York. He's going to tell us about his...
Winey?
No, he's going to tell us about his wine.
Nice.
He's part of the Cooperstown Beverage Trail, which is a group of about 8 or 9 different wineries and breweries on this route that they've created, where you stop at each location and sample all the booze that they have. And they go for this. So they do have some sort of service that will drive you to each one. If you want to do the entire beverage trail, they have people that will drive you through. Because you got to admit, by the second or third one, you're too rocked to do anything. His winery is on that trail. They call it a trail. It's not really a trail. It's just a route. And but he's got a collection of like I may be mistaken, but I thought he said 30 vintage Honda motorcycles that he's restored. And
so he's got time.
Yeah. So he threatened to come up to Americade and meet us there, but just things didn't quite work out. So we're going to be talking with him next week. And a week after that, we're going to have Jeremy Croker, like I said. We're going to discuss his books that he's coming out. And that's going to be fun. You know, he's going to tell us about stuff. And then we got so many guests calling and coming in the next few weeks. Still waiting on the big one. I don't know if I do that, but anyway. Hello.
Okay, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, loud and clear.
Hello.
Yes, we hear you.
We can hear you, Liza. How are you?
We don't have to do that all over again.
No, we don't. Say hello to Tim.
Hello.
Hey, Tim.
Hi, Liza.
Liza.
Nope.
Liza.
Can you hear him?
I can.
Okay. Say hello to Chris.
Hey, Chris.
Hi, Liza.
right.
Hey, oh, that reminds me. I'm just going to start off right off the bat telling you how to do things.
Oh.
Last week, your podcast before, when I was listening back, you've got everyone panned in your stereo.
Yeah.
And the other guys were not as loud as you were, Ted, and it was harder to hear when I was in the car actually listening on my stereo.
Well, I'll tell you what you do right now. Yell at Tim and Chris because they're never on the microphone.
Nope, that's not true.
He's full of shit.
It's all Ted's fucking thing because he just wants to be Umino new number one.
Ted just turns himself up higher than everybody.
I actually know exactly what you're talking about because when I heard it, I heard the same thing.
See the kind of
shit. Wait, which one is on the left and which one's on the right?
Tim should be on the left and Chris should be on the right. Either that or turn your headphones around.
Depends on which way you're facing.
Wait, which one is the bald one?
That's me. Wow. The Joker.
I think you must be talking about Chris, I guess.
Yeah duh.
Ted, how is the sound quality? I actually have two different mics.
Sounds perfect. Sounds great. Try the other. Sounds like you're sitting right here.
And I made sure I picked out my squeaky chair.
Oh, great. Perfect.
Why not?
Excellent.
There we go.
All right. So this is Liza from the Motorcycles Misfits podcast out in lovely Santa Cruz, California.
Lucky.
And we've cranked up the sound effects for you tonight because we know how much you like that. Are you still there?
I am.
Sadly, I'm regretting.
I'm sorry?
I'm regretting I showed you my cards earlier and told you I hated.
Well, you see, that's just it. See, you never play your cards up front. You don't want us to see any of that shit. So anyway,
I didn't tell you all the other things I hate about your podcast, so you
wow.
can't really.
The other things you hate about our podcast?
About
wow,
our
see, that's a strong
She's
word.
Brutal.
That's a strong word. And I left your show the other day with such high praise.
I'm teasing. Did you have fun?
I had a wonderful time. It was great. I love you guys, man. You guys are a lot of fun. And
you were here. Tour of the shop and everything.
I got an iPhone tour of the shop.
Nice.
It was a lot of fun. She even took me outside, and some people even yelled at me. I think I saw a finger or two. I wasn't sure. And then she brought me and showed me all the male paraphernalia hanging from the ceiling. All right. So yeah. Liza, why don't you go on and tell us about your Motorcycles and Misfits podcast for our listeners who've been living under a rock?
Yeah, I do that.
Well, go on.
Motorcycles and Misfits is a podcast that started here out of the Recycle Garage, which is a co-op garage space where I invite people to come over and to work on their bikes, and we mentor and help and teach people how to ride, maintain, put them in the right gear, all that. And then other people who are experienced come just to help and mentor others. And it's just kind of a community thing. And from that, we just used to sit around and shoot the shit and talk stories and opinions and news. And we decided...
You're not allowed to say bad words on this
show. Yeah, right.
Don't fucking curse.
Yeah.
All right.
And so from that, we decided it would be really fun to kind of share these conversations with the world. And that's how the podcast began.
Well, how long have you had the garage?
About 9 years, I want to say.
Really? Nice.
Wow.
And how many people usually you have there?
1,200 to 1,400.
We do it every Sunday, and throughout the day, maybe 20, 30 people come by. Wow. But then some days, it's just like me by myself, you know.
I don't think I've ever heard a podcast where it was just you.
Well, because sometimes people are going off on rides or dirt biking. Mm-hmm. They all come around the podcast. But no, it's gotten bigger and bigger, and we definitely get more and more people coming by. And some people just come just to open a drink, sit in a chair, and just kind of watch the chaos.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, are you the one that started it? Exactly, or did somebody else and you started the podcast?
No, actually, this is my personal garage space, and I had built it up because I've always been a bike collector,
right.
And I was restoring old bikes, and then I built a custom chopper in here, and so I had built up a nice shop full of tools and have just been kind of tinkering on bikes and said it'd be a lot nicer if there were people around. Mm-hmm. Also, as I'm sure a lot of people know who are writers, you get people who want to get into riding come to you for advice.
Absolutely.
And say, hey, can you help me find a bike? Sure, what's your budget? Well, like $500. And
you can put this one together over here.
Well, we know they're not riding a Harley in that case.
The cycle that I saw was, if you help somebody find a $500 bike, it's going to need a lot of work.
Oh yeah.
They don't know how to do the work, and if they only have $500 for the bike, they don't have the $300 for the mechanic to clean the car.
Yep.
And so it ends up becoming a project that never gets finished. So I said, you know what? What I'll do is I'll get these free bikes from people, because everyone has these bikes abandoned in their yards, and let people adopt them and teach them how to fix it, and they'll spend about $500 on tires, battery, and everything that you need, right, and end up with a bike that's been fixed up and they know how to maintain it.
That's great.
So that was kind of how it all started.
Wow. That's awesome. That's pretty cool. Now, facilities like the Recycle Garage are not really widely available in most parts of the country. Now, so what can you recommend to riders who want a wrench on their own bikes but don't have the space, tools, or experience? Mm. Basically, go to Santa Cruz and see you, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know many other people doing what I do. There are, it's a new trend that there are these shops opening up that you can pay to rent the space and use the tools. They usually do charge by the hour, or they have a monthly or weekly fee you pay.
Oh, okay.
That's kind of a new thing. There's a bunch of those happening out here.
I think it's the weather. It's based on the weather.
Well, no, it's a new trend in motorcycling. It's a do-it-yourself. And then they have mechanics there who will teach you, or they give classes.
Right.
I kind of feel like I don't do any of this for money. Everything here is free. I kind of feel like us experienced motorcyclists owe it to the community to mentor and help them.
Absolutely. Because
for many of us who started out riding, you know, I started out riding because I lied to somebody and knew said I knew how to ride, and I borrowed their bike. I had no gear. I actually, my first accident when I was a teenager on the freeway, I was wearing a 75-cent flea market helmet.
We know somebody who did that.
And, you know, there was no one to tell me what roads to go on, or how to lean properly, or what gear to wear. And I was a lone rider for a couple decades.
Wow.
And I think it's in our best interest, by us, the community at large, to help and mentor.
Absolutely.
So that's what kind of happens here. My message is, I never promote my garage. People don't even know that it's here. We're hidden behind another building. I promote the concept that other people should do what I'm doing.
Oh, there you go.
And I think that's great, though. I think what you're doing is awesome.
You are an inspiration.
Yeah, help another new writer.
That's really awesome.
That's a big thing, because far too often, I myself have had experience where I know a lot of new riders, and like you were saying, not knowing a lot of things, what not to do. They're not riders anymore. They didn't last very long, and I'm not talking about anything bad happened to them. They just gave up on it.
Right.
You know, they were gone after a year, 2 years of their bike selling it, and that's it. They're done. They're not riding anymore.
That's a shame.
You know.
Right.
Now, because go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead.
All right. Well, I was gonna say, because you run that garage now. Well, you don't really run it, but you know, you're there. How important do you think it is for bike owners, regardless of their experience or the type of bike they have, to learn how to wrench their own bikes?
Depends on how deep your pockets are.
Yeah. Ah,
true.
Of course.
So you want to know the truth?
Yeah, of course. Now, we want you to lie to us.
I don't work on my nice bikes.
Oh, but why?
And that's smart, though.
I send those out to a mechanic who is very detail-oriented, right, and takes the time and does the checklist and does everything. I shortcut. I use a hammer. You know, I
tape.
Can make things fun, keep them running.
Use a precision instrument.
But my newer performance stuff. Oh, and I get annoyed with things that have computers and sensors and shit.
Yeah, what's your bikes? I mean, what's your
tell us what you're riding.
Your new stuff.
I know, but tell our ride.
So the bikes that I don't work on is my KTM Super Duke 990,
nice,
and my Versus 650.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't work on those either. those are bikes you
do. Do you change your own oil at least?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I put all the accessories on. I can change the oil. I can, you know, rewire stuff and I can do it, but when it comes to, hey, it needs the service, I'm not patient enough to go through and check all the bolts and check the and do all that stuff. I'm not patient enough.
Did you farkle your Duke up?
No, well, the Duke came pre-farkled because the Duke was at one point in its life, it was the Parts Unlimited model bike.
Oh.
So it is completely farkled. Every bit of carbon fiber and high performance doodaddy you can put on it.
Because you like that kind of thing, right?
Well, it came that way. Oh, okay. It was actually a... Oh, who's in trouble?
No, that's Chris. He's in trouble.
I hung up on him. Sorry, but I didn't know.
No, it was a racetrack bike, so it came prepped for the track.
Now, have you done track days with that?
Not yet. Not with that bike. I did track day on my Ducati years ago. But I want to do a track day again. Mm-hmm. And then my Versus... I've actually been sparkling that and turning it into an adventure tour.
Ah, nice.
Yeah, I'm about to put some adventure tires on it and actually try and put it on some dirt.
You're going to do an adventure thing, huh? Are you going to do a, what's that movie we all went and saw and hated so much?
Oh.
You're going to do one of those tours and cry between stops?
Yes, they're little hearts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, well, so you know, I remember I had a long talk with them about that.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
Because I was one of the ones who actually like reached out and was like, what?
I reached out to them, too.
And they actually gave me a call, and I had a long conversation.
Oh, they called you.
Yeah. I had a long conversation about everything, and we came to a good, heart to heart. So I have respect for them.
Oh yeah, I appreciate what they were trying to do and all that. I just wish there was more riding.
Yeah,
but anyway. But
a lot more.
To answer your question, yes. So rest of my bikes that I have built, I have here a and raise your hand if you don't know what it is, and I'll explain it.
Uh-oh. Oh boy.
I have a
my hands up already.
This was another one of those free bikes, a 79 XS 750 triple.
What brand?
So this is a Yamaha.
Okay.
It's a 70s triple, and it was like a touring bike. It came with the whole Vetter gear, king and queen seat, the whole thing.
And you defarkled it.
Completely stripped it down. I put a Yamaha R1 front end on it.
Wow.
Stiffer suspension, a street tracker seat, rewired everything, took all the weight off of it. All the wiring is up under the seat, and it's now a street tracker, and the thing cuts corners like nobody's business, and it's really cool.
Wow. All right. We were talking the other night. You had mentioned that you owned a Harley at one point.
Yeah.
And what did you have?
I had a Road King.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Because I had built a custom chopper. Remember when custom choppers were the thing?
And with the thing that's making a resurgence now.
Yeah, I figured, you can either spend $10,000 and go to motorcycle mechanic school, mm-hmm. or you can spend $10,000 and buy a whole bunch of parts and learn just as much.
Oh, okay. And that worked out, right?
So, yeah, I built a big custom chopper. It was actually really cool with... it had a panhead replica 110 cubic inch engine, Chica gooseneck frame, and it had a Paco Springer front end, 6-over, a 200 rear. It had a 42 Army saddle, the leather saddle.
Yeah, real comfortable.
You clearly know your stuff, which is great.
And custom straight pipes that were scrambler style.
Oh my so it was so it was a quiet bike.
Yeah.
No, I did get a ticket for exceeding the noise allowance in my city.
Did you really?
Yeah, sad thing is, I don't know if you guys have experienced that before, but there's a cop here with a DB meter, and if they pull you over, he walks like, you know, 20 paces back, and he holds a DB meter up, and he signals. He says, when I signal, I want you to rev the engine so we can get a reading. So he goes back, he signals, I revved it, and he comes up, and he's shaking his head, and I said, what did I get? He said, I think it was like a 108 or something.
Are you kidding? 108? We idle at 108.
I know, yeah. 108, and I said, oh, what's the record? What have you seen? He goes, oh, a lot higher than that. I said, I was holding back. Can I do it again? Let's do it again. Because, of course, I'm not going to fully rev it. Well, so then I figured once I'm busted, it's like, let's go for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't do that in New Jersey.
He didn't have the same sense of humor.
No. We put a DB meter on our bikes not too long ago. Chris came in at like, what was he, 118?
No, it was 116.
116. I came in, well, before I changed my pipes out, I was at like 114, but then I went down to 106. And Tim, you were at 109. 104? Yeah. So here, we could be busted all the time.
Yeah, New Jersey doesn't do it, but in Pennsylvania.
They're cracking down.
They are. I know New Hope, I've heard from a number of guys that I've ridden with. They say that the cops are doing exactly what she was just describing.
Yeah.
They catch you on there, and if your bike is real loud, they walk right up to you, and they start, you know, recording stuff.
Busting your chops.
Okay, here's your ticket.
Yeah. So let me ask you a question. Did I lose you? You still there?
No, I'm still here, okay. but I still haven't finished my list of all my bikes.
Oh, God. So. Okay, go on. Should I go get a drink?
Oh, I was going to say, so I built up that chopper, and I rode it for a couple of years, but... I live so close to the ocean, it had so much chrome on it, it was rusting in my garage under covers.
Oh, wow.
So I ended up trading it on Craigslist for a Road King.
Nice.
Okay.
That was great, and I rode that. That had 18-inch ape hangers.
Yeah.
And it was badass, but then I just was never riding it.
Because
none of my friends had cruisers, and, you know.
So
they didn't want to ride with you, or you didn't want to ride with them?
Well, I mean, I had sport bikes at the time also. I've always had, like, a touring bike, a cruiser, a sport bike, a little bike. Like, I like to have one of everything.
Right, right.
But I also realized I could fit three bikes in the space that Harley did.
Yeah.
So I sold it. And I used to have a Roadstar too. I used to ride with a Harley Club, but I went and bought a Roadstar because at the time it was a 1600 cc, and that was bigger than all the Harleys.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The Roadstar is nice.
Yeah. But I also have a 72 CB750 Cafe Racer.
Oh, that I see. I had a buddy of mine that had one of those.
That's iconic, right?
That's iconic right there.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Did a lot of work on that. That's a full-up, complete rebuild. There is nothing on it from the engine to the bearings to everything that I did not touch.
Wow.
And then I have a DRZ400 dirt bike. And then this is my PSA to people. I don't know if you have this problem like we do, but there's a problem here where people tend to go onto Craigslist. And as you may be familiar, we call that our porn because we go and browse motorcycle.
Yeah, we do it here too. We just don't want to talk about it.
And I really want to discourage people from doing this. And I put a ban on the people in my garage from doing it because of that, I now own three Honda Elite scooters. So I'm the poster child of please don't browse Craigslist ads or this may be you.
Well, we have a former scooter owner here with us.
Yes, you do.
Tim owned a scooter?
A Chinese scooter.
A Chinese scooter, nonetheless.
But it got me riding.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what
he got me where I am today, sitting
and,
here.
Hey, it helped me out, too, before I got my first bike.
That's how these guys got the licenses. They used a scooter.
That's right. Got our license on scooters.
So now, how many bikes do you have?
Well, that's all my bikes now. Earlier this year, I sold like six just to pare it down.
But there's going to be more in the future, though.
Are you starting to hit that point where maybe you just want to start maybe relaxing a little bit, right?
Well, no, the problem is other people are storing their bikes here.
Oh, so you got no room.
But my personal rule for collecting bikes is that each bike has to be an individual and has to do something different than the others.
Mm-hmm.
I can't explain the three Honda Elites because of that, but everything else is unique and serves a different function.
Yeah.
Do you ride them all?
I rotate. The only one that has not been ridden in the last month or year is the CB750 because waiting for an engine teardown. Every single other bike has been ridden at some point in the last month.
Okay, now do you have like, this is a Monday bike, this is the Tuesday bike, you do that?
No, you want to know the sad thing is? Okay. I drive a company car for work, so I can't,
Bummer.
And then I run the garage on Sundays, so I have Saturday as my only day.
Really? Only got one day a week to ride? And you have all this, you probably have a lot of, I know Santa Cruz, it's got beautiful weather all the time probably.
Yeah.
Oh, crap. So while all your friends are out riding, you're just, sadly sitting in a four-wheeler.
Well, but you know what? I'm not complaining about the roads I'm driving through because beautiful views. And right now, as I said, the mountain behind me is on fire.
Yeah, so what's up with that?
Yeah.
Wow.
You can Google Santa Cruz fire and see pictures of it.
Hopefully it wasn't the result of some crazy motorcycle people out there in the hills.
Yeah, right?
that would be bad. No. So, hey, listen. Yeah. So what's your impression of all these sites out there, like Fix My Hog and the YouTube channels that provide instructional videos and make particular repairs and stuff like that? What's your impression of these? Are they useful? Are they good? Are they bad?
Fuck, yeah. They're great.
Okay.
I tell people all the time because I have people coming here asking for advice. And I always tell them, first of all, I'm not answering questions. So, A, you get a manual, and B, go Google it or YouTube it and do some research. Then I'll assist you because I'll assist with things like how do you get this bolt unstuck or what's the right tool for this. But if you're asking me what is the process or the steps you take to do something to your bike, you should do the research because it's so easy to find now. Yeah.
Now, do you do that in your shop? Do you do that in YouTube videos, whatever? You do that there?
Sometimes. I mean, everybody has their phone and just pulls it out. But it's the type of thing I tell people to do during the week to prepare.
Yeah.
I think it's really great.
Oh, yeah. Now, Sana, how many people who come to you with you with mechanical issues, how many of them are new riders?
Define new rider.
People who just said, you know what, I want to ride a motorcycle. Look, I just picked this up. I just got my license 3 hours ago. Help me out. What's wrong? What can I do?
We have a couple of those here right now. People who are in the process of taking their MSF class or have not yet. Some people have come to us. I'll give you a perfect example. Kat, who you're aware of.
Yes.
She's somebody who heard about the garage, I think on Craigslist or through somebody. She's somebody who decided she wanted to get into motorcycling. I think she was 19 at the time. Mm-hmm. And she just showed up one day and said, "Hi, I'm Kat. I would like to get into motorcycling." And we just kind of took her in and said, "All right, we need to get your gear. We need to find you the right bike. Let's." And within a few weeks, she was out riding.
Wow. There you go.
Yeah.
And now she's a regular on the show.
Yeah, and she has 5 bikes, I think. And this was 2 years ago.
5 wow. bikes.
Wow. See, that's the bug.
You know, and I heard a lot of giggles last night the other night when you guys asked me how many bikes I have, and I said 1.
We just feel sorry for you. That's all.
Yeah,
but the cost of his bikes. How much is your bike?
I know you guys were busting my chops about that too. You know, cost of that one bike, you can have 4 of these other ones.
Yeah,
so.
Easily.
That's the problem.
That is our motto. Is quantity over quality.
I see. So is that now? I know we joke a lot, and we say things like, "Well, that's because it's a throwaway bike. You ride it for a little while, and then you throw it in the garbage, and you pick another one up." I know we bust chops about that, and you guys do the same to us, and that's okay because that's how we have our fun.
But her bikes that she won't work on herself, they're not cheap bikes either.
No, I know.
They're expensive.
Do you have any cruisers ever come to your shop?
Good question, Tim.
Sure. Yeah, of course.
And you pick on them, too?
I am an equal opportunity bully.
Well, at least you're fair about it.
I'll tell you that we have a new guy here who came to us recently. He's deaf, and he has MS, which is just starting to disable his body. He can't move as well as he used to. And he used to be a dancer, like trained ballet.
Wow. Jesus.
And so he just thought motorcycling would be a new way for him to get around. And so he's been coming and learning, which is slow going because he's deaf, so we have to explain stuff. But the other day I found we take in donated gear to give out to people who don't have proper gear.
Right.
And I had fitted him in some boots and a jacket and a helmet. And he was out there with all of his gear getting used to it. And
okay.
You have to remember, this is a guy who has trouble just getting up out of a chair.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, getting on a bike, that's sketchy right there.
Wow. Well, I told him we're going to start putting him on the back of people's bikes and taking him for rides. Hmm. And he was concerned. And he said, what do you do if you crash? And I said, this is very important to know.
Yeah.
You have to understand the tuck and roll. And while you have all your gear on, this is the perfect place here in the parking lot to start practicing the tuck and roll. And then another girl who's a brand new rider who just bought her first bike, and she overheard me giving a lesson. She's like, hold on, wait a minute, I want to learn too. So she came over. So now I had two students who were prepared to do somersaults on the asphalt in the parking lot until Kat actually chimed in and said, you guys. And of course she had to run over because Christopher is deaf, so she had to wave her hands. She's lying to you. And
wow.
So I say, I'm an equal opportunity bully. I was doing my best to get a guy with MS to start
stuff
over in the parking lot.
So you just started running a gymnastics class in your parking lot is what you were doing.
Well, and now the sad truth is, who really needs to learn how to tuck and roll the most?
We know.
That would be Kat.
Yeah. Tell us about Kat. How's she doing?
She's still in the hospital.
Wow.
She has a bunch of broken things.
Yeah. Tell Tim and Chris that they're not aware of what happened. So.
Yeah, what happened to Kat?
Well, okay. So you have to know, normally we mock a lot of the Harley community for the lack of gear and the tiny helmets.
Yeah, right.
Okay. And because of the type of riding we do, we are an all gear all the time. Like, it's no joke.
Right.
With the exception of there are times that we do a thing called a naked ride, because it's not illegal here to ride naked, but the only thing by law, you have to wear your helmet. And it was a hot day on Sunday, and they were talking about doing a naked ride, but not everyone was comfortable, so they decided to do a no-gear ride over on the ocean road, which is 20-mile-an-hour tourist, you know, little wavy road.
Mm-hmm.
And while they were out there, they were doing as you do with a group of motorcycles, and they were going through stop signs together. Well, there was a guy in a van who decided that that's not legal, you can't do that, and he needs to be the vigilante to stop these hooligan motorcycles. And he actually cut them off and was trying to hit them. And
he
actually cut Kat off from the group and was accosting her and videotaping her and yelling that he's going to report everyone to the police. And she jumped the curb to get away from him. And then when she came down off the curb, she kind of, I think she gunned it to get away and actually stacked.
Really?
It wasn't a high-speed thing, but unfortunately the bike slammed down on top of her. And so she's very road rashed on her front and her back.
Yeah.
Wow.
She was not wearing anything but a tank top and booty shorts.
Okay, how is she doing now? She's on the mend.
Broken, I think, pelvis, femur, fibula.
All right, now, go ahead.
She will be fine. She will fully recover.
Okay, good. I'm glad she's going to be fine. Now, tell me about the fucking jerk off that did that. That kind of shit that I hear pisses me off, because I've run into people like that in Jersey that are like these vigilante in these goddamn cars. And just in general, I see it a lot. These people, like, they laugh when they try to do shit to me while I'm riding and I'm not doing anything.
After she crashed, she actually got out of the car and came over and was standing over her videoing.
Are
you serious?
Did nobody punched him in the fucking face? Holy shit.
Everyone ran over to tend to her, get the bike off of her, and she was in excruciating pain. And then as soon as the police arrived, he took off.
Yeah, of course.
But they did locate him, and they did interview him.
Oh, good.
We don't know. what happened. And the reality is, he didn't hit anyone. He just obstructed them. Yeah. So it may, I mean, he created a situation that created chaos.
Exactly.
That resulted in this. But who knows who's at fault.
Did anybody have a helmet cam on?
I don't think so.
Oh, wow.
But we can be thankful that everyone, including Kat, were wearing helmets. It is the law, and it's one of those arguments, and maybe it's not such a bad idea. Even though I don't appreciate the helmet law, it's times like this you go, oh, yeah, well, I guess.
Yeah, if she didn't have a helmet on, she probably wouldn't be breathing right now.
Wow.
Even I would say that.
I'm glad she's at least on the mend, and hopefully she's.
And I hope
she'll
that piece of shit dies slowly and horribly.
Back up and she'd be back up on a bike very soon. I guess she's probably eager to get back to you guys, right?
Yeah, she. I think she can't walk for 6 weeks. They're predicting so. It's amazing how something so low speed, like maybe 20 miles an hour, just went horribly wrong.
Now you think she probably would have suffered less if she was going a little faster.
Well, she would suffer less if she was wearing all of her gear.
Yeah, this is true, yeah.
That's a topic amongst us right now where I feel like, you know what? It's her choice.
Yeah.
She made an educated decision along with everyone else on that ride, of which there were some experienced riders and not as experienced riders. But it was announced beforehand. This is a no-gear ride.
Yeah.
Everyone was aware of the risk. There are other people who I would have held responsible if there was maybe one of the newer riders, really new riders, all out on that ride. Mm-hmm. People who aren't making a decision of their own and knowing the risk they're taking.
Right.
So I don't feel bad for Kat in that aspect, that she was aware, as I am when I go do these kind of rides.
Right. Wow.
And that was her choice.
Yeah. Wow. Well, there you have it. So, you know, riding with gear as much as you can is the way. See, we have here for us, we have a most of the gear some of the time.
Yeah.
That's our thing here. Yeah.
I always ride with boots on.
Yeah, and we always have the boots, always a helmet,
jeans,
of course.
And long shirt and jacket, full leather jacket.
Yeah.
In colder weather.
I personally wear a armored jacket when I ride. I'm moving on to Kevlar jeans soon, so that's my thing. But,
well, you know, and maybe you can comment on this, and I know we're going off of the original topic idea, but when we get the statistics back from, say, Sturgis, of how many deaths there are, and we compare that to the type of riding that we're doing, where we're taking risks and we're riding fast, but we're fully geared, and we usually walk away, but then you hear of all these people on Big Twins who are just getting killed. And I'm wondering, is gear the difference? Is bike the difference?
My personal opinion is I think that's more inexperience than it is the gear thing. Because I know a lot of experienced riders who've been riding for years and they don't have that problem. I think you're dealing with a lot of inexperienced riders in that case.
Yeah.
That's my opinion.
I'm going to throw something out here, because, hey, it's been, 20 minutes and I haven't insulted anyone yet. Well, when we are riding our bikes, we're highly maneuverable, and we are very in tune with being in the right place versus being in the wrong place.
Oh, sure.
And that's something I always say. When you're on a motorcycle, you're responsible for everyone around you.
Of course.
And because we're riding fast, agile bikes, we can quickly put ourselves away or into a better position. And sometimes that means we're crossing on a double yellow, or we're doing things that look really dangerous, but in fact we're putting ourselves in a better position.
Right.
I feel like people in Big Twins, you don't have that agility, and you're just riding at the same pace in the road, and when you get somebody backing out of a driveway or a drunk driver, you don't have as many options and you get taken out. And it seems to me that's a lot of what was happening when I was reading the reports at Sturgis.
I don't know. I think, you know.
Does that make any sense?
I
see exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, the bikes you ride are absolutely more agile. But, I mean, you get to know a big bike. I mean, I could show you guys that ride Road Kings that they ride the thing like it's a tricycle. They do some unholy movement with the bikes. It's just all about getting to know your bike and riding, being a really good
rider. And
that's
just it, right? What Chris said, you know, knowing your bike. And I think people who aren't in a situation where they are having these accidents, or they're not able to handle it, that's because they don't know their bike and they don't know how to handle it. I think that's a big thing because yeah, around here, the way we ride around here, again, we're going to get into this East Coast, West Coast riding thing. Because I think that'll clear up a lot of this. Now, you've ridden both East and West Coast, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, what is your impression of the difference in riding styles and riding culture? I mean, is there a difference?
Well, there's a lot less riding in the snow out here.
Yeah.
No, I used to ride in Boston year-round.
Ooh.
Yeah. My record was one day I was riding and it was 18 below zero.
Ouch.
Really? You actually went out in that?
It was my only form of, I was in my 20s, poor, and all I had was a motorcycle.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, back east when you get those cold, crisp, sunny days where it looks deceivingly nice?
Yes.
But it's actually very cold.
Yeah.
Well, I just went out there and I wasn't aware how cold it was. I didn't realize it was 18 below and I hopped on the freeway and then a couple exits down I had to quickly get off because I couldn't see through the tears in my eyes from all of the pain my body.
Well, so you need to get yourself a First Gear thermal suit, good to 20 below.
Yeah.
This message brought to you by First Gear. I can't say I know that problem because I have a big snow suit and I'm comfortable.
So. Well, you need it here. She doesn't need it out there.
Yeah, you know, if you want, I'll let you borrow it and you can go in the mountains and go ride. Yeah.
Well, you know, the funny thing is we're all about heated grips and we use our heated grips every day here.
No, you don't.
Yeah, because when the sun goes down, it drops
like 60
degrees.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. We're on the ocean.
All right.
So where we live here in Santa Cruz, it's 50 to 70 every day year round.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, when it's 50 degrees, that's cold on your hands.
Not to us.
Yeah, right. See? Yeah.
50 degrees, we're just taking off our shirts.
But, yeah, if you're saying East Coast, West Coast, I mean, certainly we're talking cruiser versus, like, sport. And the same exists on both sides. But
yeah,
definitely when you get back east, there's a lot of flatter places, like, you know, Florida or, I don't know, do you got a lot of mountains in New Jersey?
Yeah, we got some rolling terrain here, sure. Yeah.
I just find that cruising is just another, like, way of life. When I had my big cruisers, you just go out and you just cruise. And even if you go up into the mountains, you're just doing, like, twisties, and it's just very relaxing.
That's exactly why I do it. I love it.
Now, I know you guys don't do it relaxing out by where you are, like Mulholland Highway, right?
Well, that's down in L.A. Up here, we have the mountains, and basically, I think I was mentioning for people who've been to the Dragon, you know, people come from what, like 8 states just to go to the Dragon. It's the best road. That's our backyard. And there's, you know, 50 roads like that up here in the mountains with no cars on them. So,
with no cars on them. Hear that, boys?
That
see, that's our
great.
Problem here. There's too many cars.
Yeah, New Jersey's just overpopulated.
Oh, my God.
The cards ruin everything.
We had our friend Alonzo Bowden on here not too long ago, and he was telling us he understood why there are so many cruisers here on the East Coast, because you have no choice. You're not going to be doing what you guys do out there on the West Coast because there's so many cars here. So that's everybody. He said just everybody just gets on their cruisers and just leans back and cruises.
And there's no lane splitting here.
And there's no lane splitting here. We can't do that. But when
it comes down to, we all ride really for the same reason.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of like mental health. We get something out of it.
Yeah.
And a lot of us, you know, I say I was born this way. I need to. It's like flying. But there's cruising, which is just a relaxing, and then there's aggressive sport riding or supermoto.
And you don't do that.
Yeah. Which is, you know, kind of adrenaline, though. I am a mature adult, so I actually, when I find that my heartbeat is going, if I'm breathing faster, that's when I, like, back off, because you don't want to have that adrenaline-fueled riding. That's when you start making bad decisions.
Mm-hmm.
So I find that I can ride faster and smoother when I just make sure I'm staying just calm and focused.
That's riding within your limits. That's what that's called.
Riding within your limits, but it's fun.
Now, as far as it goes for East and West Coast riding, is there any element of riding in either place that you do not like?
Traffic.
Aside from that.
No, I mean, I am one of those birds where I mean, I like cruising. I like adventure riding. I like scooters. I like, you know, I like experiencing everything.
Yeah.
I'm just as happy driving a forklift. Like, things with motor wheels.
Well, the forklifts are fun.
It's fun. But the biggest difference, I think, certainly that there's, certainly we have a little bit of everything everywhere. But if we're talking about the East Coast, the cruiser thing, I think people are more into riding because it makes them feel good or feel cool.
Absolutely.
And it depends, you know, you got to look right, have the right friends, drink the right beer, whatever. You know, it's a lifestyle, it's an image.
Of course.
For us, it's not as much of an image. It's, we have more respect for somebody riding a ratty old, you know, duct tape together bike car. Right. Than somebody who shows up on a beautiful Ducati and doesn't know how to ride it.
Yeah, I get
so
you.
So it's not what you ride, it's how you ride it. It's not what you wear, it's how you wear it. That's what I say.
A real biker.
Very nice.
I mean,
that's
just
it.
Ride your bike.
Yeah.
Don't be, well, there's some guys, there's some people over here that, I love them. They make me giggle. They go out and they buy those Ducatis. They could buy whatever, a new Harley, a new whatever, and they never ride it. But they like to be anywhere and go, hey, I got a bike.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I met a guy at, I was filling up at a station. I was on my Heritage, and a guy comes up to me. He says, I have the 100th anniversary Fat Boy in my garage right now. I said, oh, great, cool. You ride much? He goes, no, I really don't. I just have it. I just, I take it out maybe like once a year and take it. I said, then why do you have it? That's, I was like, ride the damn thing. And he goes, it's like it's a Mac and I don't want to ruin it.
Oh,
like,
oh Jesus Christ.
So, yeah, I've met those people.
Wait, you know, I realized, you know, IT's Bagel is our one scooterist. Because I always tell him, like, look, get your people in line. Tell them to quit wearing flip-flops on their scooters. Now, Bagel is a serious rider. He rides vintage. He just crossed Pakistan on vintage Vespas. Mm-hmm. He's a serious, he's done cannonball runs. He's a serious rider, but we kind of group them in with the college kids, you know, with their sunglasses and flip-flops. I think we do the same thing, and we often make fun of the Harley community because you guys have a lot of posers mixed in with real deal bikers.
Oh,
and
yeah.
We can't tell the difference.
I hear you.
But I feel like maybe the same thing is happening because I'm worried that some of you guys may be judging us and putting me into the squid category.
No, you
well,
know
no, see, that's just it. That's where it's different.
We might poke fun, but I got to tell you honestly, I ride with everybody. I got friends that ride bikes that you talk about. So we all rib each other, but it's very lighthearted. I like all bikers, and I consider all. I mean, if you're riding all the time, then you're a biker. End of story. I'm not.
Yeah, if you put a helmet on, if you twist the throttle, that's it. We're
exactly.
cool. That's it. We don't care.
Very fair. And that's one of the reasons why I like listening to your podcast, because I do get that perspective that we're missing here. But you're fair and open-minded. But yeah. I realize,
when,
like
except,
I said...
Except when it comes to Can-Ams. Then we have to
finish it. Oh, you mean your car with three wheels?
What about the slingshot?
Hey, I have a friend with a slingshot, too.
But you do not. Do
badass. You have not.
Slingshots look fun.
One.
They look fun.
Oh, my God. No, but I realize, I think to people who aren't familiar with the kind of riding we're doing, they can't tell the difference between us real bikers and the asshole squids and stunters who are giving sport bike and supermotos
a
bad
rap.
Oh my God,
over
yes.
here.
We got a lot of that.
So,
a lot over here.
Yeah, so I think it goes all the way around that you have the real deal and you have the posers in every group.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
The chopper culture seems to be making a comeback.
Oh,
what's your impression?
So we've noticed here there's a new trend in the youngins of taking, like, the Honda Shadows, the Japanese cruisers. Mm-hmm. Now, do you guys acknowledge Japanese cruiser choppers, or is it not real unless it's
I like I said, I like them all. I've seen some nice Japanese cruisers and choppers, custom choppers that are gorgeous. I mean, phenomenal.
It's a budget cruiser.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah,
I'm wrong with that.
Like I said,
I'll tell you what I love is one of the biggest challenges, and I have done it with some of my project bikes. take one of the ugliest bikes you can find, which to me is an 80s and 90s metric cruiser.
Oh, yeah.
And make it cool.
Good luck.
No, they're doing it.
Oh, really?
This is what I'm telling you. They're doing it. There were guys here a couple weeks ago with these 90 Honda Shadows. One of them was a cafe racer, one of them was a bobber, and one of them was an old-school 70-style chopper. And it's the same engine and frame, and they're chopping them up and turning them into anything. Because that Honda actually makes a really great engine. And they're buying these bikes for hundreds of dollars for nothing. And it's a cool budget chopper, and I'm seeing this new trend. Because remember, for a while, it was like, remember the CB750s was the thing people were chopping up, and then it was the XS650s. I love it, you guys pretend you know what I'm talking about when
I know the CB750.
CB750,
like I said the other night, really CB750, iconic. People know what it is. Yep. I know that.
I know that.
My hand's still up.
A couple of my buddies had that exact bike, the CB750.
Yeah.
But you know the funny thing is, when I built my chopper, there wasn't a single Harley Davidson part on it, but everything on it would bolt onto a Harley Davidson.
Wow, really? That's cool.
Yeah, I mean that was the custom choppers of the 90s. There wasn't any HD. It was all these aftermarket parts.
Right.
Yeah, it's a budget thing.
It's a budget thing, but now people are scooping up all of the old, like, knuckleheads.
That, you know, that is the most sought-after engine for custom bike builders is the knucklehead.
Yeah.
Go figure.
Yeah, so you get the kind of the, well, I'm going to say, like, the older guys, older maybe over 30, you know, who, like, so they still are clinging to the American tradition, and they're the ones who are finding the knucks, and they're fixing them up. But it's the younger guys who are doing these metric choppers, and that's the trend I'm seeing here. It's actually really cool. So I don't know if you guys are seeing that back.
No, we're seeing, you know what we see every now and then is rat bikes. That seems to be a cool thing to be going on.
I love that.
I tell you what, I could so get into building a rat bike.
What do you think a rat bike is?
Actually, what everything you're talking about.
Exactly. Exactly. Just take all your bar bikes and then you have it and you put them in a big pile and try to ride out of it there.
Yeah,
exactly. That's exactly what a rat bike is.
I like that.
It's not finished. It's gnarly looking. It sounds like hell, but it runs like a bat out of hell. That's what we see.
All right. For us, the rat bike was people taking crashed, usually sport bikes, and taking all the bodywork off and then putting upright bars on and bolting just different things on. That was the original kind of the rat bike here, like a Frank bike, which usually started from a crashed sport bike because once it's road rashed, it's a lot of money to replace all the plastic.
Oh, sure.
So, and then that became known as a street biter. The rat became a biter.
Right. Now, you've heard of rat rods. Basically, they're just hot rods. Okay. Basically, over here in the East Coast, a rat bike is basically the same thing. It's rusted out, just old and low. Just they sit super low and stretched out. Those are cool ass. I would love to get my ass on one of those things.
So what's stopping you?
Money.
There you go.
Same thing is stopping you from doing an iron butt, isn't
no,
it?
No. I will do an iron butt. Don't stop it. No, the iron. Wait. A saddle sore 1,000. Okay, that's the 1,000. Now the iron butt is the 1,500, correct?
No.
Okay. Now you did the iron butt.
I've done the saddle sore and the bun burner.
The bun burner is the 1,500, right?
In 24 hours?
No, 36.
36. Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it on my Heritage. I'm going to be comfy for the 36 hours.
That's why I don't understand.
What?
Why you haven't just hopped on your bike and done it one day.
You don't just hop on your bike and do it. You got a plan. Don't you?
No.
I like your attitude.
I hopped on a bike and rode cross country once.
Oh, God.
Did you think about it? You just did it.
Just got to do it.
Really?
Well, let's put it this way. At some point in the trip, I realized I had thread showing on my tires because I hadn't even checked the tires before I left.
Chris has been there.
Yeah. Chris baloney skin.
Baloney skin. That was on. He had his Virago 1000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
1100, damn it.
Yeah, 1100. That's right.
Ted, you've been talking about Iron Butt a long time, and this is why I'm ribbing you so much.
I know.
I think there's something holding you back.
No, there's nothing. You know, I think what's holding me back is time, is finding the right moment to say, okay, I'm going to go out and do it. That's it.
It's job sitting in a way.
You know, I don't have a job. That's the problem. I don't have a job.
It's job sitting.
No, it's not the wife. She's a, you know, go, you want to, go ahead, do it. I'm just finding the right. I want to do it this way. I want to do it in October.
Are you guys buying this load of crap?
Procrastination is the thief of time.
We'll be talking to you in a couple, the whole month of October right here.
I will do it. I promise you I will do it. I want to do it. I got to do it. If I'm going to do it, I got to do it before the end of October.
Great. If I didn't, I left and I go and I end up on, and I'll do her show talking to you guys from her garage.
You know, I'm telling you. I want to do an East-West Coast so bad. I really do.
With ride. What's the longest single day ride you've done?
350.
Oh my god!
Sorry.
Are you kidding?
No, that's my longest.
That's a lunch run for us. Go do a 500-mile ride on this Saturday. Just go do it.
It's gonna rain. I don't ride in the rain. Not intentionally, anyway. Do you ride?
It's probably not going to be raining 500 miles away.
You got me there. You got me.
But then you're making it a 1,000-mile ride because he's got to come back.
I got the Loud Pipes podcast guys busting my ass because I won't go down to Barber for that thing, and that's a 1,000-mile trip. They say, well, you can get your saddle syringe. Just come on down.
So. Look, I can call up Long Haul Paul and get him down there next Saturday to take you around.
See, is this what I get?
This is what you get.
This is what I get. Oh my god!
Time. So, listen to him. He says time is his problem.
Yeah, I'm unemployed. I got all the time in the world, right?
You got nothing but freaking time.
Is there any place on the East Coast that you would like to see on the West Coast?
Ted.
Any place I'd like to see?
Yeah, right. Any road? What? Any particular riding that you would like to see on that's on the East Coast that you would like to see out there?
I don't know.
No, are you kidding? We have the best ride.
You're saying. Right. Yeah, see? Where? Do you have a dream ride? Do you have a dream ride? Someplace you want to go?
I'm going back to Pakistan again next
year. Are you
year.
Really?
Oh, really?
Wow. Yeah.
What are you going to ride?
What am I going to ride?
Yeah.
Probably the same thing again. I went last year and we rode local Pakistani 125cc street bikes.
Wow. No kidding.
I took those up into the mountains and the Himalayas and up to like a 16,000 foot peak to up to China.
Wow.
River crossings, like 8 hours of dirt roads, landslides, wood bridges.
Making me jealous.
Everything you shouldn't do to those, we did.
Wow. And you know, the thing for us is, for me, I'd say, how do you afford that? For me, that's my biggest obstacle with a trip like that.
Exactly.
That I don't know. How do you afford that? It's like, it ain't cheap. Right?
How much do you think a trip like that cost me? All in.
Five grand.
Yeah.
Wow.
$5,000. And that also included a couple stops in Dubai and playtime there. Yeah, it was so worth it.
Wow. Yeah, well, that falls in the someday category.
Can't argue with that.
Yeah, I guess. True, too, yeah. Yeah, you're right. So tell me, what's going on in the Recycle Garage in the months to come? What can we expect from you guys?
Oh, same old shit. We got even more people lined up for some really great interviews. The thing that I think sets us apart from a lot of the other podcasts, and I know you're getting more and more into interviews. And by the way, Ted, your interviewing skills are getting better and better too. I've been really enjoying watching your skills really get home.
Oh, thank you. Does that mean I sucked before?
No. But we all go through this learning curve. But what makes us really fortunate is that we have so many amazing people here in Northern California.
Oh my god.
So
yes.
We rarely do call-ins, and Ted was the first Skype call-in I've ever done this week. We get you know, AMA Hall of Famers, and we get racers, and we get movie stars and CEOs, and just a guy driving from Canada to, you know, Mexico. Yeah. We get everyone sitting on our couch. We get them in here.
Well, you're right there. You're at the front door of all that stuff.
We are.
Yeah. You got Norman Reedus, too, on your show.
Yeah, we had Norman Reedus. We've had, you know, champions. We've had all sorts of people.
That's awesome.
I've got my sights set on some things in the future. I'm not going to say.
Of course not. We do too.
Well, because of Norman Reedus, they were also on TV.
Yeah,
unlike all the rest of us. So you're like a big star.
Yeah. So you went worldwide in a good way.
Yeah.
Went fast.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Oh my
that was really cool experience. Yeah. But I know that the biggest thing was that really helped get podcasting out there.
Yeah.
And as you know, we're still trying to grow our audience. When you try to explain to somebody that you have a podcast, and they're like, "Eh, what's that? It's what time
deer,
is it on?"
Deer in headlights. Yeah.
Our struggle right now isn't to gain an audience. So much as it is to teach people that podcasting exists. So for our opportunity to go on that TV show, I knew that would be great for everybody.
Yeah.
Because now people have learned, oh, there's podcasts, and oh, there's motorcycle podcasts, and you know as well as I do, they don't just listen to one, they listen to many of them.
That's right.
So I think it helped all of us, and that's just a win. We're all kind of supporting each other, aren't
we? Oh, yeah. It is. It's a big cooperative. We're actually, like it or not, we're a big family. You know, because we're all doing the same thing, and we're all trying to promote the same thing. The motorcycle culture around the world, globally, is growing, of course. And it is a family. And because we do what we do, we have to support each other. And that's why I always make it a point to mention all of our other friends, our other podcasters, you guys all the time. You know, because we want everybody to discover each other. So everybody can learn something different. Hell, I learned a lot from you guys and the Cleveland guys about wrenching.
Thanks.
Yeah, I really. It's a great thing that we do, and you guys have been doing it for quite a while now. So you've been podcasting for how many years now?
Three. We passed 3 years.
Wow. There you go. See, and I know the Pace guys. I haven't talked to those guys in a while, but they've been doing it for a really long time.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah. What kind? So you got some things coming up on the podcast in the listening a couple episodes coming up, and anything going on in the garage that we should know about?
Well, we're gonna fix up Cat's bike for her.
Yeah. You gonna do anything special to it?
No. It actually, she broke its fall, so it doesn't.
Oh, so it's not necessarily a good thing, though.
The bike fared better than she did.
Yeah, exactly.
What kind of bike did she crash, anyway?
All right. Raise your hand if you don't know what this is. XR650R Supermoto.
Oh, geez. XR650 Supermoto. You know what? Supermoto. Because we have this technology. This thing is called Google. And we're going to look at it.
XR650R is a Honda dirt bike. These are the ones that were winning, like the Baja 1000. Yeah. These are these crazy big bikes. And now they're taking them and putting street tires on them and carving our hills here. So they're a very powerful, nimble bike because it's lightweight and narrow. But it's got a torquey 650 on it, and the thing just roars.
Wow.
Yeah, that's no joke bike right there.
Wow.
You could tear up mountains with that thing.
It looks to be a light bike.
Yeah. I mean, it's a tall dirt bike.
Yeah, so
Kat is not a tall person. It's amazing she handles it.
Really?
Yeah. And these are not bikes that are made to be street legal. We refer to them as unicorns. There's not many of them. Because it's hard out here in California to get a bike plated that was not made for it.
Wow.
All right. So these are kind of unicorn bikes.
So you know what you got to do is you got to fix it up and you got to put a unicorn horn on the front of it.
That'd be perfect for her. And put Cat on the horn.
She would kill you.
She would love it.
No. All right. So tell everybody where the listeners can find you, your website and all that crap like that.
MotorcyclesandMisfits.com. From there, it's the easiest thing to do. You can find our links to our Facebook page, or you can look at our gallery. You can click on our podcasts and listen to them. You can do it all at MotorcyclesandMisfits.com.
All right. And how can people do? You want? Can people like write to you and just like say, hey, like they wish Cat well and all that stuff like that? All on a get a hold of you all on the website, right?
Yeah, recyclemotorcyclegarage@gmail.com, but you will also find the link there. There's also a phone number there if you would like to call and leave a voicemail that we play on air.
Nice. Oh, yeah.
That's very cool.
Great. And
tell Kat I hope she gets better.
Yeah.
Yeah, we wish her well.
We definitely wish she gets back on the road soon.
Absolutely.
And, gets back
and I want to give you all a thanks again for being appreciative of all biking styles, even though you're not that familiar, and for putting up with me teasing you. But especially, okay. I really appreciate how you give a shout out to all the other podcasts, because that's something I do appreciate about you guys.
Well, thank you.
You really are, like I said, trying to support the community.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's what
great.
It's all about, right? You know?
Yep.
You guys do a wonderful, fantastic job. We really appreciate what you do. And we're going to continue promoting you guys on our show.
And I'm going to continue giving you shit until you do it.
Perfect. Excellent. This is why I like these people. You know what? We haven't done anything, so we need to give Liza a parting barrage of sound effects. Can we do this right now? So, Liza, this is for you. Okay, we're going to...
Yeah, you don't even know if you hear
me. This is from the bald guy.
Can you hear...
Wait, which bald guy? The goofy-looking one or the other one?
The one that looks like you.
Which one is
All right, so I'll tell you, just stick around for a second. We're going to might as well close the show out, so here we go. So that's it. We've got nothing going on. Again, we got the Hog Rally coming up here in Seaside Heights. That's happening in this weekend. It's going to rain, but give a crap. You get down there, you can test Maybe. Ride your bike. And Liza, when you get the opportunity, go to your nearest Harley dealer and take the CVO Pro Street Breakout for a ride.
Oof, that's a lot.
All right? It will unscrew your colon, I promise you. No?
Yeah, exactly.
Big sigh.
Did I mention I have a Super Duke 990?
You don't. Yeah, blah, blah, blah.
You don't even know.
Take the breakout.
You don't even know.
Take the breakout for a ride. Trust me.
She'll probably laugh at it.
You got to have the comparison.
The kind
you got to do
kind
it.
Of bike
you
got to
do it.
She'll probably laugh at it.
Yeah, just take it for a ride. Just go ahead there, twist the throttle once, and then when you shit yourself, you'll say, wow, this is a great bike, and you're going to sell the Duke and buy a breakout. That's what's going to happen. She's not saying anything. I think
she's about to hang up on us.
Yeah, she's
she got enough.
I'm trying not to say anything mean. So
oh,
I'm
come on.
That.
No, let it fly. We're like you said, you're an equal opportunity bully.
Yeah.
We're equal opportunity offenders. So it's okay. We don't care. It's all right.
There's no bully police here.
No. Look, say what you want.
Hey, I did tell you my up-the-butt bike is a Harley, so, I do have the love.
Did you really? I don't remember that. Please tell us. What is your up-the-butt bike? Up-the-butt bike is... You want to explain it, Laz? Okay, you have to explain it. This is your thing.
I almost want to see if Chris and Tim can tell me their up-the-butt bikes without knowing what that means.
Okay.
We might get a strange answer.
And
up-the-butt bike is a bike that you look at or know of or, it... And you go, I'd take it up the butt for that.
Okay, so what's your up the butt bike, Liza?
A VR1000 race bike.
Okay.
It's a Harley. Look it up.
Tim. Oh, that's right. Yes. I'm sorry. You're absolutely right.
Tim, what's your up the butt bike?
It's a beast.
I have none.
You don't have
it. You mean to take it up the butt, the bike, get a bike?
Huh? You
see a bike that's so awesome, you're like, I'll take it in the ass.
No.
No?
No.
Really?
No.
You're no fun.
Liza, Tim needs to be dick slapped, don't you think?
How about a gold-plated fat boy?
No. I want something all black that I don't have to polish anymore. I don't want to clean anything. I want it to be black and nothing on it. Fuck that. I'm tired of cleaning the fucking thing.
You need to think bigger. For me, an up-the-butt bike is almost a bike I want to put in my living room in a display case. It's
wow.
So special.
Okay. And Chris, what's your up-the-butt bike?
Jesus.
Anything he can afford.
Yeah, right? Maybe like you said, a gold fat boy.
You guys think outside the box. Maybe like a 1912 Harley. Like, come on.
She's thinking
42.
About, yeah.
Think of something.
You know, I tell you what, I would an old knucklehead would be really cool. Awesome. You know, have you ever seen the Janus motorcycles?
The anus?
Yeah, I rode one.
Did you really? What'd you think?
The Janus.
Janus. Is that what you... Chris, the first time Chris saw it, he called it an anus.
Because that's what I thought it said on the paper. I didn't do it deliberately.
Janus is one of those bikes that makes you feel like you're defying death at 50 miles an hour.
Oh,
wow.
It's a really cool hipster bike. If you just want something to look cool on and pop around town,
yeah,
it's great. But you need to know how to rebuild engines.
Okay. Okay, so that counts that out. Won't be doing that.
No, I like what they're doing. I interviewed the guys. They're really cool.
It's funny because when we were first talking about the bike and Chris called it an anus, they actually heard the episode.
they were cracking up.
So. It was actually pretty funny. But all right, well, that's all we got. We don't have anything else. And Liza, I want to thank you very much for joining us here on the show. We had a great time. We enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you, Liza.
Yes, thank you, Liza.
And you're
awesome. I'd like to do this more, Ted. I thought you were a good fit with our group too.
Yeah,
you took the ribbing well.
I had to. Hey, you know what?
Well, we give it to him enough over here.
Yeah, I'm used to it. I'm kind of numb from the neck down, sometimes from the neck up, but that doesn't matter.
More from the neck up.
Yeah. So, Liza, thank you very much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Liza.
Great time. And give our best to Kat. And, of course, say hello to everybody else in your group. We really appreciate everything that you guys are doing over there. All right?
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. This is the Motorcycle Man. This is episode 53. And, Tim, what do you have to say? Is your sign
up? Ride like nobody sees you.
Chris, what do you have to say?
I don't know what I have to say.
Come on. Right. And
go fuck yourself.
And go fuck yourself. Liza, do you have any parting words? Liza? Do you have any party words? Did we scare her off? I think we did. That's okay. All right, everybody. My parting words are going to be get out there and ride and pay attention. All right, take care now. Please consider subscribing to the podcast via Patreon. There's a link to our Patreon page on our homepage of the website. With your support, we can improve the podcast and add more content that only you, our subscribers, will have access to. That includes more audio, video, and live streaming of the show. For more information about the Motorcycle Men, visit our website at motorcyclemen.us. There you can join our mailing list or leave a comment and maybe give us some feedback. You know we always welcome your thoughts. If you would like to email the Motorcycle Men directly, email to motomenpc@gmail.com. Please visit our Facebook page at facebook.com/motorcyclemenpodcast. Our Twitter page is twitter.com/motorcyclemen. You can also now hear all of our episodes on YouTube. Just search for Motorcycle Men Podcast. And if you'd like to talk to us and tell us about your ride or just give us some comments, you can do that via Skype. Our Skype name is Moto Men PC. And if you find yourself doing nothing on a Tuesday night between 7:30 and 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, check in with us and we'll make you part of the show. And if you're a good guest, we might just send you some stuff.
Sorry, I'm pouring myself a drink. Stop touching shit.
Hey, go ahead. This is the one I'm working on. I can't have a feeling.
Hey, welcome. This is the Motorcycle Man. This is episode number 53, and we are here at the V-Twin Cafe in the corner booth of the tuberculosis ward.
Sorry.
And I'm Ted. And
somebody's here.
we are here at the Vintim Cafe, and I'm Ted, and I'm here with Tim Buck-2.
And?
That didn't sound right. Hold on a second.
That sounded like he was at speed.
Hold on, I'm plugging this in. There we go. That's better.
No, just continue setting up whatever.
I don't know.
Ted keeps touching everything.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, just keep touching and racking everything.
Should I try that again? There we go.
Yeah, here we go.
Why does that sound weird?
Because it's not going through there. It's coming through out here.
Why is that?
You don't have it set up going through. You don't have it set up right.
Why? I don't change that shit. I don't touch that.
We're so professional.
Oh, Christ.
It's ridiculous.
Oh, I see what's wrong.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, it's not us, Dad. It's not you. It's not you.
All right, we're gonna...
Flocker! What?
Now it's not working at all. Oh, wait. Hold it. No, wait.
It's good.
Still not coming out of here.
Yeah, it's not... Yeah. Are you recording all this?
Yes, I am.
Jesus Christ.
I know what the problem is.
Yeah.
I got it. I really do. Stop coughing into the microphone.
Not coughing.
There it is. See? There we go.
Shall we start again?
I think so. It'd be only appropriate.